do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more.
Carolina Courtroom, USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Albert Taylor is accused of shooting a 17-year-old at a South Carolina bowling alley. Jamari Fair, Dennis Gibbs, and a 15-year-old are also facing murder charges, but none of that seemed to faze them.
What are these cameras for?
It's the news media.
Now I got a question.
Oh, the news media? What's up, y'all? Man, you follow me on Twitter?
Follow me on Instagram, Luca Brasher Jr. Snapchat.
The victim's great-grandfather shook his head as he listened to the outrageous outburst in court.
I talked to his mother just the other day, and she just getting in the house and getting his room all straightened out, and then just 3 or 4 days later, this happened.
I'm Tammy Rose.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival as well as their quality of life.
We have designed an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Flemington, it's 26 degrees, clear skies, calm winds, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF. It is February 19th, and we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high near 40, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy and a low of 31 tonight, wind southeast at 5 to 10. And the next 2 days, buckle up, baby. This is sweet weather. Some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. The high will be 58, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday, cloudy and a high of 55, winds west at 5 to 10. Monday, mainly sunny and a high of 47. Tuesday, partly cloudy early, followed by mostly cloudy skies and a few showers later in the day. We might have some snow showers later that day and a low of 31 on Tuesday night. Wednesday.
Did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that.
Well, at least I can.
Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during a radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on 100 Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. Hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Get to a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Local weather here at 100inchchamberradio.com. We're in the low 20s outside right now. Today, mostly sunny, high near 62. Tonight, chance of showers in the early morning, actually tomorrow. Although at lows in the 30s, showers likely Tuesday, mainly between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Slight chance of showers Tuesday night, lows in the 30s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 57. Wednesday night, a little cloudy, low in the 40s. Sunny on Thursday, high towards 60. Again on Friday, high probably in the 60s, and sunny on Saturday. Oh, forward-looking chance of rain Saturday night. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Chef Bill here, coming to you on Monday mornings around this time, talking about food, celebrations, holidays coming up. Of course, a couple of weeks away, we have Thanksgiving coming up, and the New York Times already put their timeline out with a nice collection of recipes from over the years. There's some classics in there if you want to check it out. But basically, if you're going to entertain that day or have family, large family, extended family over, there's obviously some planning to do, and they give you kind of the steps to the countdown, things you can do ahead, and mainly, as I mentioned last week, it's about organization, planning, and go with what you know, do what you can do. Sometimes people like to experiment and do something a little bit different, but
If you haven't tried the things before, if you don't know the timing on it or the result, sometimes we might save that for another occasion. Although, I have to admit, many times I'll throw one wild card in there, make time for just something fun, usually along the appetizer line or maybe a side dish. But aside from that, I like to go traditional. So today we'll talk about some strategies. Of course, everybody has their favorite recipes that they use. A lot of them are passed down through the family. But we'll talk about some sample ideas for menu and just things you should be mindful of if you don't often cook turkeys and making room in the fridge, the whole thing, scheduling it. This week of, Food Celebrating Apple Cider Week, which is very timely. Good time of year, fresh ciders out there. A lot of producers are shifting into hard cider also. Very pleasant beverage. We enjoy it year-round. Not every day, obviously, but it's a nice change sometime from all the nice craft beers and ales that are out there. A little cider is very good. Very easy to cook with, too. And it doesn't have to be hard cider. Good apple cider is always a nice addition to sauces for poultry, for pork. Back years ago, even seafood. Even mussels steamed in a little cider. When you think about it, the flavors of Chardonnay wine, there's definitely some apple in there. So if you're using white wine, if you don't want to use wine, sometimes cider is a good thing to use. The 16th is Fast Food Day. Fast food. Become really part of our life now. All the outlets, all the ways to eat. And part of it's just the way our society runs. We've cut down the amount of time we spend at lunch. Breakfast is on the go. Everything's grab and go. Fast, fast, fast. We're a highly mobile society. Gone are the days when you relaxed for an hour for lunch and then, maybe took a nap afterwards and went back to work. So the evolution of fast food actually started a long, long time ago, probably with the Romans and other cultures with street vendors. There were things that were ready to eat. People would pack them up on a wagon or, of course, nowadays a truck. And sell them on the street to anybody passing by. Very easy to do. And that's almost come full circle. The food trucks now are the way for chefs to get started out there instead of having to go through the expense of building and maintaining a brick-and-mortar restaurant. Then, of course, the big innovation with the outlets was the drive-thru. Back in the 70s, I guess, early 70s, maybe late 60s, and being able to just drive up in your car. Of course, we're, again, a mobile society. Everybody's living in their cars, and be able to drive up to a window and place your order and have it filled. And, of course, the latest thing now is delivery. There's whole business models out there based on just food delivery, whether just from a single source, oftentimes from multiple sources. The driver will go pick up food, you want your favorite from one place and something from another, and instead of having to drive around to the places, everything comes to your door. At a small charge, of course, but, time is money, and sometimes we pay for that convenience. Now, fast food really, though, is just that it's ready quickly, and it's a challenge for our restaurants, especially in the tablecloth or the even family dining. People coming in want their food prepared to order and with good ingredients, but also the speed at which we're expected to perform now is really picked up. So a lot of fast food is just food that's pre-cooked and ready quickly, not really cooked to order. A lot of what we call fast food or fast ready food does take a lot of time to take, to prepare. Say fried chicken, for example, or even sushi. The rice needs to be made unless you're just going for for a sashimi or a quick ceviche or a crudo, there's some preparation that has to be done. Barbecue, ultimate ready food. It's always ready, right? But it takes hours to make barbecue, good barbecue. Even hot dogs, think of all the preparation. They're quick to cook, but all the preparation that goes into grinding the meat and stuffing them and smoking them and bar cooking them, the whole thing, just so it's ready to be consumed when guests are ready. Of course, fried foods, the ultimate, I mean, they're pretty quick, and especially small pieces of things, everything, seafood, vegetables, anything deep fried. And we like in the restaurant for first courses because, for one thing, they're good. People like fried foods. Difficult to pull off at home, although there are deep fryers you can buy now that do a pretty good job. One of those things, you know, the restaurants, we have much more powerful fryers back there. And they're tasty, they're hot, you got crunch, crispy. You can usually take well to some kind of little sauce or garnish. So we like, and even classic meals, a little cuisinette, a little, you know, a little fried fish or something was normally a first course. For me, though, the ultimate fast food is eggs. Eggs, really, I mean, the longest you're going to cook an egg is 10 minutes, 12 minutes if you want something hard-boiled. But most egg dishes can be ready really in a flash. Think of omelets, sunny side up or over easy eggs that we normally have for breakfast, or frittata or the Spanish tortilla. The flat omelets, a folded omelet, of course, takes literally seconds, less than a minute, as long as you don't overstuff it. And even for dessert, a sweet omelet, a souffle omelet, those, again, with eggs, cook very quickly. You can even make little crepes out of eggs if you want. And you'll see now chefs are adding eggs to their dishes, not just the fried egg on the hamburger, but the poached egg or the runny yolk on a salad or on a stir fry. Puts a protein in there, adds value to the dish, of course, nutrition. And with a runny yolk, you have this thing that kind of melts with everything else and makes its own sauce. So don't discount the value of eggs. And it doesn't have to be two or three eggs. It could be one egg as a garnish, even the classic lardon salad. Of course, you have your bacon or salt pork fried up nice and crispy, but with the frisée or the endive. You could do it with spinach, put a poached egg on top, break the yolk, it mixes with the vinaigrette and gives you a nice sauce. Well, you like Caesar salad, and Caesar salad is made with eggs, so why not put a nice poached egg on your salad? We've got a break for some messages, and we'll come back and start looking at Turkey Day, Chef Bill's Table.
In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that passed the knowledge I...
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
It's time to visit Pambies, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambies Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate pecans and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambies, purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Thanksgiving, turkey, right? Traditional meal. Well, there are other options out there, especially if your family's not large. You may not want to invest in a whole bird. Of course, we find that's why restaurants offering takeout work very well for that. But in this caterers, you can pick up the bird already done or servings. Duck would also would be a great alternative, especially for two people. A little bit of work cooking the duck, but very good meal. Cornish hens, old school. So when you're planning out the dinner, if you have any gathering beforehand, remember there's a big meal coming, so keep your snacks pretty simple. Vegetable-based or seafood would be something I would think about. And also you may want to theme your dinner. This is where the melting pot we have here, many cultures come together, and of course, let's say, you want turkey for the main course, but you can theme your dinner around your side dishes, your desserts, even the sauce or the gravy. If you don't have traditional gravy, you can always make something that may be more familiar to your heritage. Remember up in Lake Placid for the 1980 Winter Olympics, we were up there working on a towel, and we had to cater a meal for all the attachés from the participating countries. It was up at the residency was renting through the Olympics. And what they wanted was traditional American Thanksgiving dinner. Even though it was February, they wanted a turkey there. It was great because hotel, which was an old colonial inn, since revamped and remodeled, but that was part of what we did there too. So that was the dish that even people that weren't from our country chose as representative of what they would want, especially on a cold winter day. I know I used to do, we even call it, roast chicken, but always with the stuffing and vegetables and gravy. That was what our kids called number one dinner. I would often do that, and I still, as a chef, my favorite courses of roast chicken done well. So, what do you buy for turkey? Fresh, frozen, that's the big decision. I mean, and there's other, if you want to do organic, if you want to do all natural, all the handles that are put on the birds now. If you like fresh, and order it ahead, obviously, but the advantage to that is you can pick the weight that you want. You're not tied into what the supermarkets, birds are raised for a certain market weight, there's certain ranges, and your hen turkeys are one size, and your toms, you can get as large a one as you want. I find the real large ones, of course, that's a workout to cook, and in your oven, maybe barely big enough for it. You've got a slower recovery time. It's almost better to get two, right? And the other option, if you are a small family, I know what my sous chef would do. They would get a turkey and cut it in half. Have the butcher cut it in half and put one half in the freezer and cook the half, just cook it like a big roast half chicken. So that's one thought. Or if you just want the white meat, you can just buy the turkey breast. If you like dark meat, you know, it's possible to get anything. A nice turkey thigh roast would be right up my alley. I like the leg meat, dark meat. So if you're buying fresh, obviously you'll time your pickup. Now you have to store it somewhere. And the other problem is especially if we're having a big group, and of course we're not going to shop that day, so the refrigerator gets full. You've got all your vegetables and things for side dishes. You've got beverages. If you're, of course, in the Northeast, it's cool enough. You can put most of the beverages in the garage, probably. If you need to store a turkey, I know even defrosting a frozen turkey, you know, they say, you know, the best way is under refrigeration so you don't have any bacterial problems. Running water is good, and I've seen suggestions that you actually use a big cooler and use it, put it in the bathtub and let the water run over. I know in restaurants we like the running water by convection. Just the same way a convection oven, moving air heats faster, moving water will draw the cold away quicker. So it can be cold water, run the faucet very slowly, just so the water is changing. The other way is to change the water every 2 or 3 hours. Because what does happen is, you know, the water will pick up some heat from the room temperature and then get a little too warm. Outside of the turkey is defrosted, gets to that danger zone. The inside's still frozen. And so you keep it in there longer. So changing the water is good. I've had good success with a cooler. And I don't, not really just the styrofoam ones. They're okay, but a nice, I guess the brand that comes to mind would be an Igloo. That would be a common one, I guess. But something big enough to hold the turkey. And I've actually left it in there because they're very, very well insulated. Dead air, air that's not moving, is actually a very good insulator. So I would wrap the bird in some newspaper, which is another good insulator, and put it in the cooler. And in the garage, where it's, you know, the temperature this time of year, of course, doesn't get too warm, and let the bird defrost in there. And the way to really, if you want to be safe, throw an ice pack or two in there. If you throw ice cubes in there, make sure they're in a bag so the bird's not sitting in water. Because even though they're wrapped in the plastic, you can still get a little bit of osmosis, I guess. You pick up some of that water. This plastic is not totally waterproof. And speaking of adding liquid, a lot of people now like to brining the bird. And what is brining? Of course, it adds flavor, adds some water back to the bird, so when you're cooking it, yes, some moisture is going to come out, it's going to keep it tender. So we call it the pump sometimes, is the other word we use in the industry. That you see it with corned beef, you see it with hams, water added. If you buy a boneless turkey breast roast, for example, you'll see it may contain up to 14% or 12%, some percent of salt solution. And you can flavor, yes, salt, sugar. What happens when you're brining is, again, through osmosis, initially there's moisture drawn out of the turkey, but then it goes back in and, again, adds to the weight. And it does add salt. And if you're trying to watch your salt content of your food, you know, it might not be the best thing for you. If you're brining, of course, once you take it out of the brine, make sure you pat it dry. You don't want a soggy bird going into the oven because you want your skin crisp. For me, I don't like to brine. I like to just taste the food the way it is. And the problem with the turkey, because of its anatomy, is the parts of the white meat will overcook. The little, where the breast tapers down to those little tips there. And this is where trussing if you're going to roast and you want a decent result, trussing is probably the single best thing you can do, which means having the legs tied together so part of the drumsticks covers up that end of the breast, so it kind of insulates it from overcooking. We see it done with rotisserie chickens. Of course, keeps them from falling apart. It's easier to put them on the rotisserie. We do the same thing with the turkey. If you truss the bird, and we're not going to stuff the bird with bread either. That takes a long time. By the time the stuffing's done, the meat's overdone. What I put in the cavity is just simply some chopped onion and celery, and usually an orange or some kind of citrus. Yes, you can season the inside, but this is just a little bit of aromatics that are going to actually add moisture to the inside. As they warm up, they're going to keep a little bit of steam inside there, so keeps everything, you know, it's my way of infusing a little moisture in there. Also, when you're cooking the bird, a roasting rack is preferable so the heat can circulate around the bird. You get nice drippings. Advantage to that is as they brown in the pan, you've got a nice caramelized fond for your gravy. Another option, again, some diced carrots and onions and celery. We call it mirepoix. Rest the bird on those vegetables, and those vegetables will roast and caramelize and help, again, flavor and color for your gravy. We've got a break for news. Talk about a couple other ways to cook the bird, making some stock, which I love to have plenty of gravy. Gravy's the answer, even if the food's a little bit cooled off if you're serving family style. If you have plenty of gravy, you'll be all right. We'll come back to table after a break for news. Check for this table. Take a look at yourself.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's an operations role and it's an advisory role.
Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus discussing his new job as President-elect Donald Trump's White House Chief of Staff.
So running the White House, everything from protocol to the daily routine to communications, policy, the president's agenda in Congress.
Priebus also telling Fox and Friends he's also looking forward to working with newly named White House strategist Steve Bannon, who he calls wise and smart. ISIS is encouraging a lone wolf attack on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade in New York City. The terror group making the suggestion in an English-language magazine. Officials say the tactic is nothing new, and there are still no credible or specific threats against the Macy's parade. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Mortgage rates have dropped again. In fact, recently mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. Now is the time for you to take advantage of these historically low rates and save serious money every month by refinancing your mortgage. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how far we can lower your mortgage payment. For 6 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. This ultra-low rate of 3.5% won't last long. So call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Thank you.
back at the table here. Chef Bill's table, talking about Thanksgiving. So, yes, so brining, no brining. Trussing, definitely important. Put it on, up on a rack or up on some vegetables so you get a little bit more browning. Of course, I like what I've done in recent years now is the spatchcock, where you split the bird down the backbone. Actually take the backbone out. Add that to your broth. Gives you some more flavor there. And so it's spread out, and again, you can put the legs so they cover part of that tip of the white meat. Like this for a couple of reasons. A, it's very quick to cook, and I'll even roast it at 400 or 425. You talk about getting nice crispy skin. You're basically, and usually I'll use a smaller bird for this, but larger one would be okay. Make sure your sheet pan is big enough. But very fast cooking, and for some reason, if the bird is not quite done, your skin is crispy, you can always cut the heat down to that 300 or so, even less if you like, and let the cooking finish up. But one other advantage, of course, instead of having the whole oven taken up by this big bird, you're spreading it out on a flat pan, you have room to cook something else if you need to. Say you need to bake your pie or do a side dish, whatever you may need oven space for. When you have the turkey flattened out like that, then you do have that space. If you're doing traditional roast, of course, the 325 is good, 325 to 350. And yes, the skin will brown. If for some reason the bird is almost done, the skin is not quite brown enough, you can always increase the heat at the end to crisp it up. Some chefs like to put a little seasoned butter underneath the skin, which kind of bastes and flavors the white meat. Very nice idea. Done that before. Others just rub a little oil on the outside. Also, take a page out of the barbecue guy's books and just have a little spritzer with actually something more with water in it, and let that kind of crisp up, you know, some citrus, some vinegar, if you want, like a little mop, depending on the flavor you want your bird to be. As I said, you can theme it. You know, a lot of people still like to deep fry, do it a southern style. Fried turkey, another quick way to cook it. You need to do it outside, of course, and take all the precautions, but fried turkey is pretty darn good. And that's why I think my way at the 425, you know, it's essentially you've got you don't have the quick recovery time of a fryer with it, but certainly at that temperature you're able to cook the bird very quickly. Of course, resting time is important. I take it out a few degrees less than what I want because we call it carryover cooking. It will continue to cook even out of the oven because all that heat's on the outside. It'll kind of, you let all the juices kind of run and get where they should be. Now, if for some reason, whichever way you've roasted your bird, you're going to start carving and you find that the dark meat, it might be a little pink. Well, you know, as long as it's come to the proper temperature, the 160, it's safe. But some people don't like that appearance. What I do is same as if you're serving, say a classical duck recipe where you've got the carved breast could be medium rare, and the legs well done. Just take the dark meat and simmer it in a little bit of gravy. What you're doing is, it's not blood in there, it's just myoglobin. It's from the slow-moving muscles, the darker color, and it'll bring it up the rest of the way. Speaking of gravy, of course, we want to make sure there's plenty of gravy, because although some people say, well, the white meat's dry, it's this, it's that. That's not if you cook it properly. Just whether you cook it quickly or slowly, don't rely on those pop-up thermometers. The bird's pretty much overcooked by then. Have a good instant read thermometer. Check it at the thickest part, and don't let the thermometer touch the bone. That's going to throw off the reading. And pull it a few degrees early. You know, five degrees, a little bit lower than you really want it. take out of the oven. You can cover it with a little loose aluminum foil tent if you like to keep keep it from cooling too much. But that, that big roast, that's going to still be hot 20, 30 minutes later. So don't worry about it. Making gravy, that's another challenge if people aren't used to making sauces. Easiest way, of course, with the fat that's in the pan, add a little flour, and, you know, over the flame, you brown the flour and stir it, then you add your stock or your broth. But people say, oh, it gets lumpy, is this? Well, sure, if it gets lumpy, just strain it. It's not the end of the world. And especially if you have some vegetables in there, like I suggest for roasting, you're going to have to strain it anyway. So you can use the fat that's there in the pan and add the flour. Make sure there's no water left in there. What happens oftentimes, we'll pour the juices out of the pan, and of course the fat will float to the top. There's actually even a device that has a little spout that you can separate the fat off. You pour the fat off or ladle it off the juice, and then you don't want water when you're making a roux, because it's not, it's going to, that'll help lump up the flour. You just want the fat in there. The other option is to simmer the juices until the water evaporates, just leaves the fat. Of course, then you get nice, some nice browning too, so that's not a bad thing to do. The other option, if you don't want to use the fat, worrying about calories, it does add some flavor to the sauce, but it makes it a little heavier, is what we call a wash. And what I do is your regular all-purpose flour and some water or room temperature chicken broth or turkey broth, whatever you have, and I put in a shaker and shake it up. You want to make sure all the lumps are out of that flour, it's all dissolved. Shaking it's probably the easiest way. You could also do it in a bowl, liquid and flour, and make it about the consistency of a little thicker than heavy cream. Do the same thing if you're using arrowroot or cornstarch. We call it a slurry or a wash. And that's another way to do it. The disadvantage of the flour slurry is that you need to cook the sauce, the gravy, a little bit longer to get rid of the floury taste. If you use the fat in the pan and make a roux and cook that for a few minutes, accomplishes the same thing, kind of gives the flour a little nutty flavor and gets rid of some of the starch. Another option, of course, pre-gelatinized flour, the Wonder Flour. We've actually made roux with that, that you don't have to cook. You can actually just sprinkle that into boiling liquid, like, and thicken it up as it goes. So that's another option. You don't have to worry. But really, making a lot of broth is a key thing, and this is where that planning ahead of time can help out. If you're taking the backbone out, if you're splitting it like I like to, then you've got your backbone, but definitely you've got your gizzard, your neck. Don't put liver in your broth. Save that. Either saute it for a snack, or what I like to do with the liver actually is grind it up or fine chop it raw and put that in the dressing. Adds that flavor. Nobody really knows it's in there, but it adds that nice poultry flavor to the dressing. That's my secret ingredient. With the broth, I take the tips off the wings, and you want to leave the one joint on to help balance the bird, but the other two, the tip and the two bone joint, definitely can come off, unless you really have somebody that really likes to eat a turkey wing. Those can help make more broth. Onion and celery, a bay leaf, maybe a sprig of thyme or a sage leaf in there, some parsley. Make sure you have plenty of broth. And that's something that if you have your turkey butchered ahead, you can make the day before. And then, of course, when you chill it, fat comes to the top. Any fat in there will come to the top. You can easily remove it. The other way, of course, you're going to be roasting the turkey for a while. A good poultry broth should take a good 2 or 3 hours of simmering. Don't boil it. If you boil it, it emulsifies some of the fat back in there and gets cloudy. You want a nice, clear broth. If you want to make a lot of gravy, it would be even actually worth it to buy, the turkey neck or some other gizzards or even a you know, turkey drumstick and just use it for stock. You can always shred the meat afterwards and put it in something, but I make sure I have plenty of broth, plenty of gravy. This way, if there's any leftovers, you've got a good way to heat it up, or heat them up, or make a pot pie, or whatever. But you can never have enough gravy. If you're presenting the turkey whole, carving the table, there's, of course, three ways to serve. You've got family style, you can do plated meals from the kitchen, or you can do a buffet, where people help themselves, but everything's in chafers or slow cookers, and you can keep the food hot. If you have space, or if you have a large group, of course, a buffet is pretty nice because everybody gets what they want. You could put a, you know, stand and carve, do a little carving station there, or have the turkey sliced and in a chafer with some of the gravy in it, and of course, plenty of gravy on the side. This gravy is what ties everything together. Your side dishes, potatoes, have some potatoes, some sweet potatoes, the stuffing, of course. And whatever you call it, dressing, is not really stuffing the inside of the turkey. And that's where you can vary things, too. You can even, I've had occasions where I have to make two. You want one maybe with sausage in it. You want one not really vegetarian if you're using chicken broth, but maybe with your walnuts or maybe some dried fruit, fresh fruit, apple stuffing. Many ways to do it, flavor that bread. I think it comes from, I've actually made a savory bread pudding as kind of an option, old recipe. So you take your bread, instead of having to dry it out, make the croutons and do all that, you have your slices of bread. Or you could use cubes if you like, but your dried bread, and you have your custard, but you're going to flavor the milk for the custard with some sage and thyme, rosemary, any of your poultry spices there. And so you're making a bread pudding like you would for dessert. You have the eggs, custard, but a savory one that tastes just like stuffing. Of course, you can bake it. You can just take slices of it if you like. Something a little bit different, a little bit richer than a stuffing, but certainly worth looking at for an option. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll kind of line up some other ideas for Thanksgiving Day.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters with Reichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is the reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce.
Chef Bill talking, get some ideas for Thanksgiving Day. So if you are roasting turkey the traditional way, the good news with that is once you get it in the oven, you've got a good 3 or 4 hours to do other things. If you're roasting it faster, of course, you have to maybe start some of your preparation earlier. Now, holding equipment's important. Managing refrigerator space, as I said, that can be a problem. And big thing, of course, most people don't have room for that big turkey. So, as I said, there are other options for keeping the turkey cold until you need it. The worst thing you can do is just don't leave it sitting out on the counter. You know, it's not recommended is the safest way to do it. Keep it chilled somehow. So your other side dishes, you know, I like lots of side dishes. I'm sorry, it's turkey's a great backdrop for many things. Stuffing, I was thinking about, instead of a big pan of stuffing, what about, you know, muffin tin? Individualize it, because and that we see that now with desserts. I've done it with, meatloaf. Make meatloaf muffins. This meatloaf cupcakes, if you will. Cupcakes are a hot item right now anyway. There's whole shows and competitions on it. But stuffing muffins would be kind of cool because take less time to bake. You're essentially portioning out the stuffing. And everybody gets that little bit of crispy that you like. You could bake them, again, a lot quicker than a big pan. Easy to serve instead of having to dig out stuffing. You know, everybody gets one muffin, or you can plan the your presentation or the amount you need a lot easier. But stuffing muffins would definitely be a cool thing to have. At the restaurant now, we don't serve salad on that day. A lot of course, the Americans start their dinner with a bunch of lettuce and some kind of flavored mayonnaise, which doesn't make sense. If I was going to serve a salad, I would have it after the meal, something with a light vinaigrette, and actually could incorporate a nice couple of bites of cheese after the meal instead of before. We serve soup. We have the favorites, the butternut bisque, which is always good. Using the squash, we did one with the Kubota squash. There's delicata. There's other squashes. The butternut, it's a great soup, even if you're having a gathering beforehand. When you have a puree soup like that, you could just serve it just like a beverage in a little cup. People could have a couple of sips of soup. You don't have to worry about spooning things out. Just kind of sip the nice bisque. We also do the sherry mushroom, which is kind of if you think of onion soup with the sherry in it, we don't do the crouton and cheese. You certainly could if you like, but make a similar soup with mushrooms, a nice medley of mushrooms. We like the broth soup before a heavy meal. It's really a good first course soup, not really a main course soup. And then, of course, representing a seafood, we do the clam chowder or sometimes a seafood chowder. And if you're doing a fancier meal, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I'd like to start my Thanksgiving with seafood. And it could be smoked fish, could be chilled shellfish, shrimp. Of course, a nice shrimp platter would be nice. If you want something, even a ceviche would be nice with scallops, or a scallop stew. Scallop stew, oyster stew, something very simple like that, just your seasoned cream, and basically, when you're pan roasting, you call it a pan roast, it's just simmering the seafood, whether oysters or scallops, in a little bit of this nicely seasoned light cream. Very quick to do. You can portion, you know, everybody gets two or three little scallops or slices or diced scallop or, as I say, shucked oysters. But either that, you know, either hot as the soup or chilled shellfish would be great. If you're doing a gathering before, as I said, maybe just simple crostinis. You could serve your soup then if you like. But something more vegetable-based or even flatbreads, and oftentimes there will be, I've used a, say, ricotta cheese as a spread instead of mayonnaise, a little bit lighter, season the ricotta. One that comes to mind, a favorite, would be some hashed Brussels sprouts on ricotta, a little shard of shaved Asiago on top, Belgian endive, old school, but still those little spears work as a little vehicle for some kind of other garnish, celery, again, old school, but stuffed celery, you know, and then, you know, the dip sometimes, cream cheese, a nice dip would be, gorgonzola and goat cheese, or a little piping on something, Asian pear would work well with that, if you're having something beforehand, you mix, you know, half and half, gorgonzola and goat cheese, blend those together with a fork, and then a little tiny bit of heavy cream, just enough so it's pipeable or spreadable, and you've got a nice complex cheese flavor that you don't need to eat a lot of. You'd rather have a couple of bites of a very good cheese than mass quantities of something bland and processed. So we have our shellfish or our stew, the other first course options, of course, stuffed mushrooms are nice, or some kind of vegetable and pastry. We serve rolls at the restaurant. I don't know if rolls are really necessary. A lot of people like that little, you know, little crescent rolls or things that, you know, that have become tradition. But seriously, you're going to have a lot of you're having stuffing, and you're having at least one kind of potato there. I like both. I like the sweets and the regular. And when I do the sweet potatoes, though, don't like to sweeten them too much. They're already sweet. Use a touch of maple syrup, but I like ginger powder in there is good. It adds a little heat and a little spice to it. But I'd resist the urge to put a lot of, you know, like the marshmallows and, I don't know, all kinds of extra sweet syrupy things with the sweet potatoes. I like to take them more, I'd rather use a little Parmesan in there and like, take it more the savory direction. So, you know, I would have, say, plenty of gravy, cranberry relish, still that tried and true, the one that comes on the bag of cranberries, just grind it up with sugar and orange. And I like that one because it's nice and tart. And you want that with a rich dinner. You want that little bit of something with a little acid to it and freshens up an otherwise, you know, it can get, you know, it's cold weather, it's fall, going into winter. Yes, we have all that comforting heavy food, but a nice fresh relish like that works. Even if you wanted to serve as a salad, if you wanted a chopped or shredded something with the cabbage or vegetables, that certainly wouldn't hurt. If you want to make a cooked cranberry sauce, best way, of course, you buy your fresh cranberries and wash them, and you'll cook them in port wine instead of water and some sugar. Make a syrup really with the port wine and sugar. Cook the cranberries, a little spices in there, a cinnamon stick, maybe, or a nutmeg, something just to zip it up a little bit, even orange rind would be good in there. But you're cooking it till the berries pop, then of course you've got, there's enough pectin there to thicken up as it sets. You could put it in a mold, put it in a bowl, and chill it down, and you've got a nice whole berry cranberry sauce. We've got to actually out of time now at the show, so we've got another week, but basically get your menus planned, get your strategy in order. We can finish up next week with some of the fine touches and then also what to do afterwards. Chef Bill signing off. We'll see you next week.